So there were so many people who were even silent over the occupation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Isn't that right? And then you find people furnishing excuses. No, those guys belong to such and such sect of Islam. You know, do you think Masjid Al-Aqsa is also a Sunni masjid or a Nasibi masjid? It's the Masjid of Islam. Masjid is the house of God. And today, if we go silent over the occupation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Muqaddas, Jerusalem, then the next step, which is already announced, Al-Israel al-Kubra, the greater Israel, is to expand, to take up Medina and Makkah and Najaf and Karbala, Nile to Euphrates. And trust me, a lot would have been silent even over the usurping of Najaf and Karbala and Medina and Makkah, because we are silent over Masjid al-Aqsa. In our beautiful religion Islam, we will stand to support that Jew who is oppressed. And if there is a Shia person who's oppressing somebody somewhere, we are going to condemn that Shia person over his oppression. This is the kind of fairness-based principles that we have. Isn't it right? So this is how you have to define the lines. So you find, you know, there were some people who were silent over the atrocities of the enemies of Islam, specifically the Zionists. And there were some people who were separating religion from politics as if it's not even part of Islam. Are you trying to reinvent the wheel? Are you here to make a new religion? Because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, you know, al-Islamu wa sultanu tawamani. Islam and government are twins. That means inseparable. Fal-Islamu ussun wa sultanu haris. So Islam is the foundation and the government is the protector. Something that doesn't have a foundation gets devastated, collapses. And something that doesn't have a protector gets wasted. There were certain scholars who were doing istikhara. When Shah La'natullah alayhi captured Imam Khomeini, they were doing istikhara. Shall we protest over the zulm?
Do you do istikhara for shall I pray Salatul Fajr tomorrow?
You don't do istikharas for a wajib or a haram or a mustahab. Shall I go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein?
And has the thawab of 90 hajj of Rasulullah. No need to do the istikhara, it's already told. Or shall I pray Salatul Layl? Or about any other makruh in Islam? We do istikhara for the mubahat.
So there were people who were doing istikhara. Shall we protest over the zulm? So by now you fail to understand what does the Holy Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and Nahjul Balagha has to say about the zulm and the zalim and our responsibility against the zalim? Is that what you understand about Islam?
So you find the head of the intelligence, Sawak, General Pakrawan, he once showed up and said to the Imam that, you know what, Shah is a Shia. And you are a mujtahid, naib, deputy of the imam. And it doesn't make any sense for a person like you to rise up against your own fellow mu'min Shia brother. And also, politics, siyasat is najis.
And a person like you, who is a holy man, it doesn't add up that you, do the siyasat and politics because it's najis. And apart from that, if you happen to establish an Islamic government because you are a Shia, it's going to cause divisions between the Islamic Ummah because Sunnis will feel upset.
So Imam says in his response that if Shah is a Shia and if the way you are saying that I am a mujtahid obviously and I am the deputy according to what you said,
then Shah is supposed to follow me and cannot expect me to follow him. And is siyasat and politics najis for only me or is also najis for him? And then he said that if someone makes your house dirty, you don't leave your house. You take the trash out of your house and throw it outside. So when our Islamic government is established, we are going to eliminate the differences and those people who are causing differences in the ranks of the Muslim brothers, and we will stand for the unity in the Islamic Ummah.
In America right now, you find
there are lobbies who are promoting Sufism as the official representative of Islam because they are mute towards the Tahuts and Zalimeen. That's the kind of Islam they love to see from us.
And Sayyidu Shuhada alayhi salam said, لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي مَلْجَأٌ وَلَا مَأْوَى لَمَا بَايَعْتُ يَزِيدَ بْنَ مُعَاوِيَةَ.
If I have no place for refuge, I would still not do the oath of allegiance towards Yazid son of Muawiyah. This is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then you find there are some people who, when you talk about Imam Hussein, they start bringing Imam Hassan alayhi salam as if they're trying to say that Imam Hassan is different from Imam Hussein. What are you trying to say? No, we followed the footsteps of Imam Hassan. What do you mean by that? Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are part of one nur. Al-Hassan wal-Hussein, imaman qama aw qa'ada. Imam Hussein was part of the sulh. And if Imam Hassan was alive at the time of Karbala, he would have done exactly the same and said exactly what Imam Hussein said, because they are part of one nur. Imam Hassan is not the person who's inclined towards sulh as some interpret, because he's the one says, Wallahi law wajadtu ansaran la qataltuhu layli wa nahari. I swear to Allah, if I had found companions, supporters, I would have fought against him, that is Muawiyah, night and day. The same Imam Hassan, some people end up saying that he is inclined towards sulh. No, our Imams are neither inclined towards war, nor they're inclined towards sulh and peace. They are inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.